Now we're going to open the Word of God just for a very few minutes this morning. And I just want to look at a couple of verses in the Song of Songs, chapter 8. Now for those who maybe had a glimpse of the initial itinerary, I'm sure you're disappointed as I am that the real Mr. Crawford isn't here right now, because he's supposed to be giving us a word at this time. But we're praying for him that he'll be restored to health and strength, and to the Christians here, so we trust God will bless His Word as we read from it. Song of Songs, chapter 8, and we're just going to read in at verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned, or the thought there is despised. Now God will bless to us the reading of His precious Word. Now, I am sure that on the mind of most couples and younger couples, that thought of love has been on our hearts this weekend. When I said something about Valentine's Day the other day, it's not that I'm against it, because really, they tell us that leading up to yesterday and including yesterday, they sell in the hundreds of millions of dollars worth of candies and flowers. And I myself was into one of your stores here, looking for something. I was there with a lot of the procrastinating men at the last minute, trying to find something suitable, trying to find something that would express my love. And you know, the reality is that when we are saying to our loved one that we love you, really we're saying we're sure glad you love me. Because you love me that I'm able to give this to you. And so it is, we might sound like we're speaking in terms of endearment, but really we're just thankful that someone has actually chosen us. Love. Sad to say that for many people it takes a special occasion for love to be expressed. With all the busyness and the things that we have to do, we just sometimes forget to say, and sometimes we're reminded that we forget to say it. But you know, it's not that we don't, but it's just that somehow we don't think maybe it's that important that we have to express it all the time. But listen, it is. It is something that it shouldn't take a special occasion for us to express. And I suppose that if this city is like any other city, Valentine's Day, you can never get a reservation anywhere. They're all booked up. You can hardly buy a flower that looks any good anymore because all the good ones have been bought. And just people go to extreme, they go to the point of extravagance. Extravagance. Now, what is extravagance is simply that which exceeds what is considered normal. So on that day, we do extravagant things. Things that we wouldn't normally do. Things that, you know, we wouldn't normally open our wallet for. But we figure it's a special day, and so we go to extravagant lengths. Whether it's dishing out $75 for a dozen flowers, they're going to be dead in a week. You know, whether it's giving them chocolates or something, and they enjoy it, and then they ask that question, do I look fat? And you give the wrong answer. I mean, the love's gone in a hurry. And so, you know, we do extravagant things. But what we've read here in Song of Songs, we've read about love that, listen, we would consider to be extravagant. We would consider it to be something that far exceeds what is normal. Now, when it comes to God, there is no such thing as extravagant love. The love that we think is that extravagant, the love that we have read about here in the Song of Songs, that we would consider, you know, way out there, it is what is normal with our God. We've been enjoying that this morning in our worship. We've been enjoying that in the hymns of praise that we've been singing, as we have been singing about a God of love, a God whose love went to the nth degree. But it's not extravagant. It's normal, as far as God is concerned. Because it's His very essence. It's what God is. God, with all those other attributes, God is love. And the measures, the lengths that He displays and proves that love, it's not something that is abnormal. It is not something that would be deemed extravagant. It is exactly what our God is. God is love. I just want to look very quickly. I got four little points here and these four statements of love. First, we read here in verse 6 where it says, love is strong as death. And when I look at that, I think of the unconquerableness of this love. You know, sad to say, in the world in which we live, we can, you know, just bubble with words of love one day. And it would seem that not too far down the road, maybe because of circumstances, because of things that happen, all of a sudden that love that we felt, that love that we displayed, that love that we showed, is gone. And it happens all the time. And it's not a love that is willing to go as far as death. It's a love that's around when the going gets good, when the going is good, rather, but when the going gets tough. So often that love is gone. And the relationship is gone. But the love that has been manifested to us, the love that we have been recipients of, it is a love that is as strong as death. That is, it would go as far as death. John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. We can understand that, in a measure. We can understand a friendship that is so strong that someone would literally die for somebody, whether it's rescuing them, whether it's whatever it might be. We see it in family relationships where parents, they put themselves at peril because of the love that they have for that child, and many times they are overcome in death. I think when I was out there in Newfoundland last year, this time of year, well, actually in January, just a little south of where I was in Parsons Pond, there was a couple went into their camp in the bush. Everybody has a camp there in the bush. And they had a little fireplace, just a tarp, of just four walls with a tarp over. That was their camp. And they were in there, and as they were getting the fire lit, the wood was a little green. So the man threw in some gasoline into the stove. When he put the match in, the explosion literally threw him out the door behind him. He was able to get back up and save the wife and the one child that were on this side of the partition, but he knew on the other side of that little partition was the little boy. And that man, into that little shack that was engulfed with flames, he went through that door. And when the fire was finally out, they found him and the son in the farthest corner with the father draped around that boy. Why would he do that? Out of love. Love for that child. That bond that was there because of who that child was. But when I think of God's love for me, when I think of God's love for those that weren't His friends, for those that were ungodly, we weren't like God, for those that were His enemies. And yet here was a love that was willing to go as far as death. This love is as strong as death. Not only is it strong as death, you go down to verse 7. It says, many waters cannot quench love. So not only is it unconquerable, here it tells us that it is unquenchable. I've already said that there are some things that cool our love in this life. Things that, you know, just sort of, when are dumped on our burning love, all of a sudden that love isn't as hot. It starts to smolder, and sometimes it even goes out. But here is a love that says many waters cannot quench love. When I think this morning, as we've been remembering our Savior, as we've been remembering the path that which He took, I think of a place called Gethsemane. And there in Gethsemane, you know, it's one thing to declare love. It's one thing to avow love. But to put that love into action, sometimes, we stop and we weigh the cost. And yet here was the Savior, who from eternity declared His love for sinful man, that He was going to come into this world. And now as He's just on the very brink of going to Calvary, He's in Gethsemane. He is anticipating that which He is going to go through. It's causing Him agony. It's causing Him to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And there, as He anticipates in the greatest detail, knowing exactly what was going to happen, knowing every lash, knowing every time they would spit in His face, knowing every time they would beat Him with a rod, knowing the shame of the nakedness when they would strip Him of His clothes, of the agony and the ignominy of Calvary there in Gethsemane. We read in Psalm 69, which some would say would maybe be in part a Gethsemane psalm. And what are the words of Psalm 69? "Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And yet here is a love that could not be quenched by the many waters of Gethsemane, by the anticipation, by the understanding of what He was going to go through. Many waters cannot quench love. Go down to a little farther there, the next verse. It says, "Neither can the floods drown it." And the thought there is of overwhelming it. The other is of quenching it. Here is the thought: it could not be overwhelmed. And so now it is a love that is unfathomable. We cannot sound the depths of this love. Oh, we get up, and I'm guilty of it. I do it all the time. And we tell God how much we love Him. And we should love Him. I hope we do love Him. But the reason we are here this morning is not because we love Him. It's because He's loved us. And He's proved it. He has put His words into actions. Psalm 42, if what we have when it says the many waters cannot quench it are Gethsemane, here when it says neither can the floods drown it, I think of Calvary. And Psalm 42, "Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and billows are gone over me." The judgment of God. The waves and billows that our sins deserved. The punishment that should have been meted upon us. And yet, wonder of wonders, instead of us being on that cross, instead of us suffering at the hand of God, here is His only Son. Here is a Savior. And as He is there on that cross, the floods of the wrath of God could not drown it. He did not stop midway through those dark hours. He did not come down because it became something too great for Him. But rather, out of love to our souls, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured that cross, despising the shame, knowing exactly the results that would accrue because of Calvary. And so here is one who in eternity said, "I love them." One who in eternity said, "I love you as an individual." Here on the cross, He is displaying, He is putting into action those words and proving His love. And the floods cannot drown it. Go down to verse 8. Not only is that love unconquerable, unquenchable, and unfathomable. Here we have in verse 8, it says, "If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly despised." Here we have a love that is unpurchasable. Unpurchasable. Was it those philosophers of the 1960s, I do remember some of the things that happened in the 1960s. I was young. But those great philosophers of the 1960s, they said, "Money can't buy me love." And yet people, they think that by bestowing things on others, that they can buy love, that they can secure a relationship, that they can secure reciprocal feelings. Well, money might buy happiness sometimes, and money might buy love for a little while, but it's not eternal. And the Savior, who owns everything, to the length of this universe, every single, I was going to say atom, but every neutrino, those things that are just floating through the air, he owns it all. It's all his, and he is able to put a value on that. He is able to place a value on all of creation. And yet giving that wouldn't have been enough. Giving everything that he had would have come up short. That's a sad commentary to our state. That's a sad commentary to how far from God we were. And yet here is one who, out of love to our soul, willing to pay the utmost price instead of giving of himself, he gave himself for us. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What's our response to that kind of love? What is it? I know there's a response we get when we express our love to our wives, to our girlfriends. You know, there's that old warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, yeah, those things happen. But what is the result of this love? What does the knowledge of this type of love have on me? What does it have on me? Does it, you know, is it just, well, that's nice, that's fine? No. It should be far greater. We were hearing about that yesterday. There should be a definite result. If we truly appreciate this great love, and it's not we do this to pay back. No, we do it as a result, as a response to the love that we've been loved with. It's not a burden. It's not something that we're indebted to do, but rather it is a response of a heart that has been overwhelmed by love. I hope you've been overwhelmed by love today. As we've sat around these emblems, as we've remembered the Lord one more time, we haven't just come to take up a seat at the hall. We haven't just come to be there because they expect us to be there. We have come because we have been drawn by the cords of love. And as we have listened, as we have meditated, as we have worshipped, we have been once again overwhelmed by the love that we've been loved with. But again, it's going to manifest itself in a very practical way. It's, you know, we're just not going to go with that, you know, that puppy look on our face that some people, you know, when they're in love, you can just tell just by the look on their face. No, it's more than that. Yes, there should be, it should have an effect upon our outward. That is true. I mean, to understand this love, people should see it in us that the joy of the Lord is their salvation. But we were hearing yesterday in John's Gospel, the Savior said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There'll be a definite response. There'll be a definite response to this expression of love in that you will keep my commandments. What are those commandments? Well, just very quickly, the commandments, a couple of them he says in John 15, he says, and this is the commandment that ye have, love one for another. To love one another. And he goes a bit farther than that, even as I have loved you. That means loving that brother, loving that sister in spite of what they might say and what they might do, of what they might appear to be. Because listen, if the love of Christ for me was based upon how I looked or what I did or what I thought, I'd have never got it. But he loved me simply because that was his very nature. So we're to love one another, to keep his commandments. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so in the Corinthian epistle, it would seem there the context has to do with the apostolic doctrine that was delivered to them through the whole epistle. Chapter 13, of course, that great chapter on love. But as he brings it all together, these commandments to love our brothers, to follow the doctrine. He says, listen, they're not grievous. The commandments of the Lord aren't grievous.
Well, how could they ever be grievous? When we think of how much He loves us, when we love somebody, we go out of our way to do the best for them. We go out of our way to make sure that we help them out, that everything with them, we put our effort in. We're not trying to deter them. We're not trying to stumble them. We're trying to do the best for them. It's the same with our Savior. This Savior whose love was as strong as death. The many waters of Gethsemane couldn't quench it, neither could the floods of Calvary quench it. He is the one who gave Himself for us. And as a response to this love, you know, it's interesting, you see couples after Valentine's Day and, you know, for 3 or 4 days later, you see them in the mall or something, they're holding hands. You know, there's a visible evidence that there's been appreciation for those expressions of love. Well, I trust that in the week to come, there will be a visible expression of our appreciation for this great love that we have been loved with, the Son of God, who loved me and gave